Now, from the left coast to the D.C. Beltway, covering the topics you love to hate and hate to miss, it's the Silk or Joe Show.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Silk or Joe Show. Co-host Joe with you this weekend. Even though we are airing a little late, we are recording this at CPAC. Of course, this is coming out 1 week after CPAC concluded. What date would that be? March 1st is when this is airing, because I don't have the calendar in front of me. Foolishly, I decided to march into this without realizing what date it is. But it is March 1st that you're hearing this, even though CPAC wrapped itself up a week before on the 22nd. Anyway, though, we do want to thank the Main Street Media Network for making all of this possible for us and covering all the bases with clientele and whatnot, because we do say things on this program they disagree with and disapprove of, but the management appreciates the First Amendment, and we appreciate them for appreciating the First Amendment. So if you want to show some appreciation, go to mainstreetradionetwork.com. You can find out about the Silk or Joe Show up there. You can find out about the other program we do, the Al Nathan Show, I guess, for him sometimes. I can't predict whether or not I guest hosted for him this week, but last week I certainly did. And so it's all at mainstreetmedianetwork.com. He's also at alnathan.com. And again, podcasts for the programs can be found up there as well. And we want to thank the Salem Radio Network for distributing the show. And you can find us on social media, of course, under Main Street Radio Network's pages, Facebook and Wimkin, W-I-M-K-I-N, at Main Street Radio Network, and Twitter at Main Street Radio, and Getter, G-E-T-T-R.com, at Silk or Joe Show. Without further ado, we have our guest here who's been waiting through this introduction. We have J.W. Grenadier. She is a certified EDA advocate and mediator. Ms. Grenadier, appreciate you being on the show. How are you today?
Good. Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, glad to have you. So tell our listeners here a little bit about what you do in this organization here, judicialpedia.com.
So I've become an expert on the judicial crisis that the United States of America is in right now. Mm-hmm. We have an issue where we can't walk into a courtroom and get a fair hearing. And that sounds a little bit harsh, but as we're watching everything that happens to Donald Trump, that's happening to Main Street America. And it's happening in divorces, guardianships, CPS. It's just a number of things. And the only way we're going to be able to stop it is by exposing it. And, you know, God bless Donald J. Trump for allowing everything that's happened to him to be so public, because of the fact that it empowers the people that it's happening to understand they're not alone. And promises made, promises kept by the president in his executive orders are just the start. But we really have to look at what's happening. There's over 55 lawsuits against those executives' orders. And the judges that are ruling on the orders lack jurisdiction. And jurisdiction is one of the most important things that a judge has to have in order to hear a case. And you might say, well, how does the act, do they lack jurisdiction? And they can lack jurisdiction over subject matter. The subject matter is whatever the item is that they're ruling on. They can also lack jurisdiction over personal biases. And that's the one I think we have. A lot of them are choosing to use subject jurisdiction, the ones that are saying they don't have jurisdiction. That was in Boston and in D.C. on one case. But the bias comes from when you look back at the January 6 cases in the District of Columbia, those judges lacked jurisdiction because they all had a political bias. They colluded with the Department of Justice, with the FBI, to target people who were at the January 6, 2021. And, you know, we're 4 years down the road, and we just got those men out of jail. Some of them were in jail for over 2 years and never charged anything. So we have a real problem with our judiciary. And for mainstream America, it may start as simple with a parking ticket or a speeding ticket. And maybe they weren't really speeding, but they have to go to court and they tell the judge the truth. But the officer lies, and they get found guilty. And they're supposed to be presumed innocent. So it can be as little as that. And that's where it starts. And unfortunately, we walk out of the courthouse thinking, well, I'm going to pay the $100 and just move on with my life. Instead of, oh my God, that's a real problem. And then as you get older and all of a sudden, or even if you're younger and you see your parents go through a divorce, the judges have already colluded with the lawyers to decide who's going to be the winner and loser. And when that happens, it's the lawyer's children who go to college, who with a paid severance, with the all paid for by their parents. It's the lawyer's child who has the BMW in school, in the private school that you no longer are at because your parents are divorced, and $100,000 had to go to lawyers. And I kind of call that the $10,000 couch. Because basically, let's say you purchased a couch. It's not worth anything now because it's years old. But you're talking to your lawyer and she says to you, or he says to you, he or she wants that couch. You're not going to let him have that couch, are you? All of a sudden, you've racked up $10,000 legal fees on a stupid couch. We have to get the American people out of the courtroom and into mediation for family matters. But in order to do that, we have to get control of the judiciary. They state that it's an independent of the legislature and or of the executive branch, but there's no independence. And there's so many things that are done for favor. When you walk into a courtroom, you'll hear the judge have a pleasant conversation with one lawyer and just look at the other lawyer as if, you know we can't stand up. So you automatically know who the winner and the loser is going to be.
Right.
And until we can change that atmosphere, and that atmosphere has to start at the top. So where is the top? The top is with John Roberts, who is our Supreme Court Justice. And when he became Supreme Court Justice, and I think it was 2005, he very clearly stated a judge is an umpire. He's not supposed to be a party to the ball game. The ball game is between the plaintiff and the defendant. And they're supposed to come in and they're supposed to give each side. And the judge is supposed to rule on that. He's not supposed to say, oh, but what if this? What if you decided to get back together again or whatever? And where I'd like to take that now is into the United States District Court of the District of Columbia in the federal court. Because our federal courts, that court in particular, is our civil rights court. And anyone across the United States can go into that court with this constitutional rights are being violated. The problem we have is the judges in that court, which are the judges that ruled on the J6 cases. And I just like to share one case with you that I worked as an ADA advocate in. The gentleman didn't go into the Capitol. There was no video of him being harming anyone. He was from Florida, and the government asked for 20 years. He had cancer, he was in his 50s, and he got 15 years. He didn't go into the Capitol. He didn't harm anyone. He did have bear mace on his jacket, but he didn't spray it at anybody. So that is just how irrational the courts are being. And I still to this day, when I think about that case and being in that courtroom that day, my mouth dropped. He had one lawyer. The opposing side had at least, I mean, there were like five Department of Justice lawyers and FBI agents and people in the audience. So we were paying probably $20,000 for that one case where he didn't do anything. It should have been negotiated out. And instead, he was in jail until President Trump pardoned him with one of his executive's orders.
That is incredible. The injustice that you see in the system from all that. And like you know, you hear stories about it, but this particular case is such a highlight of the sort of things that have just gone on. But it's not just like January 6th, folks, as you opened up with. This is happening all across the board.
Yes. And I just sat in a case, one of Trump's cases in the District of Columbia, and it was for the USAID. Mm-hmm. Okay, I had gone to the hearing, and then the next day I went to the to hear the case argued in for the TRO, whatever it was, they were going to block it from going forward, which the judge continued the block. The judge was Judge Nichols, mm-hmm. and he,
now we've got about 20 seconds left here.
Okay, so he basically entered into the case. He kept saying, mm-hmm. well, what if this and what if that? And he hammered on the DOJ. So, you know, Trump doesn't have a chance if we keep up this way.
All right, listeners, we got more Silk Road Joe Show after this break, so stick with us.
An engaging novel for readers aged 8 to 12 delivers a heartwarming exploration of the immigrant experience. The Partition Project by Sadia Farooqi tells the touching story of a Pakistani-American girl named Maha who forges a bond with her grandmother after learning about her difficult childhood experiences. When her grandmother from Pakistan arrives in Houston, Maha is more focused on her journalism class assignment to film a documentary. As they start talking, Maha learns about her grandmother's childhood in northern India and the partition that forced her to leave her home and relocate to the newly created Pakistan. Appalled by the continuing painful aftershocks of the partition, Maha realizes she found the topic of her documentary, author Sadia Farooqi.
The partition of India was the largest mass migration in history, and I wanted to help young readers learn about it in a relatable way. I hope this book helps readers, especially those who've been made to feel like they're from somewhere else, embrace who they are and provide a sense of belonging.
The Partition Project is now available wherever books are sold.
Chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, or COPD, is a respiratory disease that can make everyday life challenging. People living with COPD can experience chronic cough and difficulty breathing when doing daily activities, such as getting dressed in the morning, walking up the stairs, or going to work. Now, there's a new kind of treatment option available for certain patients that could help improve their ability to breathe. If you or a loved one have COPD, talk to a doctor about getting a routine blood test that measures a type of white blood cell called eosinophils and can help give insight that can guide your COPD management. Learn more at treatyourcopd.com. That's T-R-E-A-T. YOURCOPD.com. This message is courtesy of Sanofi and Regeneron.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, in all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
Back to the Silk Road Show. Big co-host Joe with you all here this weekend, almost live from CPAC. I say almost because we're sitting here at the event, but you're listening to this on March 1st, which is the week after the event would have wrapped up. And actually, that's kind of weird to me because usually the event is wrapping up on this day as opposed to last week. They did like a week early for whatever reason. Anywho, we are still joined by JW Grenadier. She is a certified ADA advocate and mediator. And we were just talking in the last segment about some of the cases that you were sitting in on, particularly for USAID and just the performance, or sorry, the temporary restraining order against USAID and the judge who's trying to stick his nose into the executive branch's business. So please continue talking about it. And I also just kind of quickly summarize the point you were making at the end of the last segment.
Okay. So basically, like I said, promises made, promises kept. And the executive orders that he is doing, which coincide with Elon Musk working with him. And part of that is what's going on with USAID, which we have found to be just a huge slush fund that is going out and the money is going to other countries. While we have Americans sleeping in tents in North Carolina, part of the money at USAID went to immigrants along with FEMA. So the first thing that they did was, Elon Musk and Trump did, was USAID. So there have been hearings on the Hill and a court case in order to block them from being able to fire the people and to block the payments. So this was the second hearing they had that I went to, and it was Judge Nichols, who was one of the main judges with January 6th. All of those judges should be recusing themselves, because I think when Trump came in and he did his executive order to release all the January 6th prisoners, at that point in time, I had also done in July or July of or June of 2024, a writ of mandamus up to the Supreme Court of the United States, pointing out the judge's bias. And the judge's bias were not only politically and religiously, they were also constitutionally. Because these men had a constitutional right to a fair trial, which they never got. And now Trump is not getting a fair trial. Trump didn't get any fair trials. He had judges that were obviously against him, and they put it right out on the open TV. They had donated money. In fact, with Judge Michonne in New York City, his daughter benefited financially because she was her company was the past Vice President Harris's media person for running for president. So everything that we can see now is that we have a very tainted and dirty judiciary. So the question becomes, how do we get it back? And we need people filing complaints. My website, judicialpedia.com, the reason I created it was because you become invisible to people when you start talking about judges and lawyers, because we were raised to believe in judges, lawyers, and doctors. Today, my trash people, the people who deliver my trash, I have more respect for than a judge, a lawyer, or a doctor. They show up, they're nice to you. On the days I can't get my trash can out, so they'll go up and get it if it looks full. You know, a judge, he'll throw me in jail for anything he can because I've publicly have stated we have a problem. And instead of trying to clean their own house because they police themselves, they're trying to cover it up further and further and further. And unfortunately, the promises that Trump made and his executive orders are never going to be completely executed due to the fact of all the lawsuits. And so they really have to start in this one with the USAID, which was the most disappointing, was our Department of Justice. The lawyers that showed up to argue it, not only did they not follow the rules of the court and put in their names, their appearances, whenever an attorney is in court, they have to put in their appearance. They didn't do that. They also never objected to anything the opposing side said or did. They also were unprepared. It had already been decided in Boston, the lack of jurisdiction. What the unions have been arguing is they're going to lose members. If Trump fires federal employees, they're going to lose members. And that's going to, the harm that's going to be is to the union, not to the people. Because the people have other regress if they feel like they are harmed. Now, under USAID, there was one incident that could have had some standing, but it was immediately rectified, was over in the Congo. There, we had some people over there. There was an issue, and I honestly don't know the whole issue. But the government went in and got them out. They didn't leave them there. They aren't going to leave anyone anywhere. Everybody has, there's a plan, and they have options of what they want to do. And so these unions are really using the fact that they are going to be harmed by the loss of members. There is no harm going to the employees, because an employee anywhere in the United States can be fired any day of the week. Mm-hmm. If they feel they were discriminated against, or they feel they haven't been compensated properly, there are avenues to take. And within the government, they have employment courts that they go to if they feel they've been unfairly treated. So it's a bunch of smoke and mirrors by the Democrats. And none of these judges, and it's very disappointing in our Supreme Court Justice John Roberts, because he's fighting for the fact that the judiciary has always policed itself and it should be able to continue to police itself. So we were earlier talking about this, the United States District Court of the District of Columbia, mm-hmm. and the importance of that to all Americans, because that's our civil rights court that anyone can bring a case in anywhere in the United States. Our judge there in 2015, 2016 was Judge Richard Roberts. He raped a 16-year-old.
Wow.
And Merrick Garland, and who became the next chief judge, Burl Howe, they covered it up.
Wow.
They retired him early, and he's sitting at home right now making more money than as if he was working for a judge.
Incredible.
That case is up on Judicialpedia, and you can see the case, the woman who unfortunately it happened to, she was 16, mm-hmm. and she had been a victim of a gang. Mm-hmm. And she, God bless her soul, she stayed after him for 30 years before she got justice. No American should have to wait 30 years to get justice, especially that grave of a thing, and to be allow him to pass all the way up to that, to be chief judge of that court. And John Roberts ignores it. Mm. And that's our chief justice. They're not related. Richard Roberts and John Roberts, right. Two different people. But so that's how extreme that our courts are in policing themselves.
Yeah, and any lawyer who tries to go after that, they have their practice law online, because there's dozens of lawyers willing to take out the one who's trying to stand up for the clean system. But we've got only 5 seconds left here, so I want to thank you again, J.W. Grenadier. And again, the website is www.judicialpedia.com. We'll still quick show after this break.
The 2025 tax season has officially begun, and many of us are hopeful for a potential, even better, a considerable tax refund. Lisa Green Lewis, a CPA and TurboTax expert, recommends the latest user-friendly services to help make that happen.
The tax deadline for most individuals is April 15th. Start by gathering all necessary documents. This year, the standard deduction is $14,600 if you're filing single and $29,200 married filing jointly, helping to reduce your taxes. Avoid common mistakes like failing to file or procrastinating. TurboTax offers done-for-you experiences with options options for DIY or expert assistance at unbeatable prices. New TurboTax users can file federal and state taxes for free doing their own taxes in the mobile app until February 18th, no matter their tax complexity. And TurboTax customers may receive their federal refund up to 5 days early.
Visit TurboTax.com to learn more.
Cenex has launched the second annual Hometown Throwdown competition. The contest invites individuals and organizations to nominate their hometown festival by sharing what makes their celebrations unique. Cenex will award $150,000 to 5 qualifying festivals this year, with the grand prize winner receiving $100,000. The Hometown Throwdown competition draws inspiration from the brand's deep local roots and builds on its long history of giving back to the communities it serves. The entry period for the competition starts January 7th and runs through February 7th, 2025. To be eligible, festivals must be run by a local chamber of commerce, municipality, downtown commission, community-oriented nonprofit group, or other similar organization. Additional information about Hometown Throwdown, including entry requirements and restrictions, can be found at cenexhometownthrowdown.com. That's C-E-N-E-X, hometownthrowdown.com.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils, like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here. Probably. Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Silker Joe Show, everybody. Co-host Joe with you all here this week. And, well, this weekend, I should say. We're still at CPAC. That is, we're stuck in a perpetual time loop because it's March 1st for you all listening. And it's still February 20th for us over here at CPAC. We're just recording little business early like I did last year, where I recorded like a month's worth of shows early. And actually, speaking of last year, we are joined by someone who was on the program from CPAC, Nathan Clark. He's an independent journalist. His work can be found at theblindconservative.com, .substack, Substack.com. I think I got that website right. Did I?
Yeah, it's .substack.com.
Oh, I added an extra .com in there. So theblindconservative.substack.com. Forget about the extra .com in there. So how have you been?
I've been good. I actually moved out east finally, and I left South Dakota last year, and I've been registering a lot of people in Virginia.
Oh, cool. So I must have been a bit of a success for you then, because Trump got elected. So some of that registration effort must have worked.
Yeah, over 600 registrations over last year and another 200 party affiliation changes.
Wow. Awesome. Yeah. You know, Virginia, it's still kind of a purple state at this point. It actually seems to lean more blue. And I'm a little concerned about the governor's race. Is there anything you're going to be working on with that?
I'm going to be doing the same thing, and I'm going to be working with Ballot Banker to spread the word across the state, get some good candidates on even the state legislator level, and try to get as much as we can. And I think the governor's race is going to come down to Fredericksburg, because if all other numbers pan out, we just need to pick up 4% in Fredericksburg and win some Sears will win.
That's good, because I've been concerned about this year, because after losing to Trump in 2024, I'm thinking, well, wait a minute, they're going to want to win, because the state of Virginia right now, the two leading candidates, Winsome Sears and the Democrat, forgot her name, Spangbergers?
Abigail Spanberger,
CIA
plant.
Right. So whoever wins will be the first female governor of Virginia, and Democrats are going to fight tooth and claw for that honor, and also after losing first black female president. So
I don't think that's going to be their top target, though.
Oh, really?
I think Scott Pressler is being a genius by getting as much attention on New Jersey as possible. That way Virginia flies under the radar, and Winsome Sears can win.
Mm. I certainly hope so, because Virginia, they've been doing a lot of crazy stuff in the legislature. The only thing that's been blocking is Governor Youngkin. You know, they've had all sorts of schemes like banning certain types of guns, for example.
Right.
And and the state legislature, too, it's so hypocritical about stuff. Like, one of the advertising slogans that the Democrats used against Trump is, oh, he's a 34-time convicted felon. You can't have that in the White House. The Speaker of the State House of Virginia, a Democrat, is a convicted felon who actually served prison time. So, like, on the one hand, it's bad. On the other hand, it's good in a civil rights step when you do that.
I mean, the hypocrisy is all too common.
Right. And then another thing they did, too, was when they thought it would be another Democrat, I guess, and, I think it was Terry McAuliffe who was going up against Ralph Northam, or who was going to be going up against the guy, Glenn Youngkin, who's right now.
Yeah.
I think they thought Terry McAuliffe was going to win, because Democrats, they passed something with this casino thing. In the state of Virginia, folks, the governor has been trying to work on this casino project, and it's actually an outgrowth of legislation the Democrats themselves passed. But then the moment the governorship is now Republican, Democrats are standing up to it and saying, oh, it's going to hurt all these people and stuff, and hoping everyone forgets that it's their fault.
They always up that. Like, look at the last 4 years. They're trying to blame egg prices on Trump. Like,
yeah, and he's only been in office for a month now.
If you had it happen 6 months after, yeah, you can't. Even 3 months you could. But 4 weeks, things don't change in 4 weeks that much.
Yeah, they think they're talking like he had a magic wand, or voters were dumb enough to expect that he had a magic wand. And with just, the moment he gets in, wave it around, and then suddenly egg prices drop and all the other stuff he promised happens, when Democrats themselves ought to know better.
Right. Especially because they need to, the state Senate is not looking too good for them with the maps, how they're drawn,
mm-hmm.
because there's a lot more competitive districts that Republicans can pick off than Democrats can. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, unfortunately, I live down in Newport News. It's so uncompetitive that we don't even have someone running as a Republican. Well, at least in the last election, we didn't have someone running as a Republican.
Say, Newport News, yeah, you're kind of screwed. But the rest of the Chesapeake Bay, there's going to be some competitive races down there.
Hmm. Yeah, and hopefully we'll get some more Republicans in. And, even if somehow Winsome Sears loses, hopefully at least the state legislator, one of the houses, will flip to put some kind of check on the Democrats. Otherwise, they're just going to be they're going to turn this into another New York or California.
House of Delegates is going to be really hard to flip. It's state Senate, governorship, both, or we're going to be hoping.
Yeah. And, also, I'm concerned, too, because with a lot of the stuff that Trump's doing, firing all these federal workers and stuff, a lot of them live in Virginia. That's why they call it the DMV area, D.C., Maryland, Virginia. So, and 92% at least for DC, 92% Democrat is how they usually vote. So like those people are covered Northern Virginia. That's a big reason why Virginia is a purple state, because of the folks in DC. And I get the feeling they might be a little vengeful too.
I've been reading that some of them are even leaving the state, so maybe
that's what I'm hoping.
That's what I'm banking on, because we need to flip Fredericksburg and just hold what we did in Loudoun County this year, because we picked up 9 points, Republicans did, in Loudoun County, including the voter registration. We cut in about 6 percentage points into what Democrats had as their lead in Loudoun County.
Now, you're coming from South Dakota, so Democrats, they're not really as big of a concern there. How's the difference looking to you?
So in South Dakota, the state house is 64 Republicans and 6 Democrats. The 6 Democrats always caucus with what is known as the South Dakota caucus. They're the more like Bush era Republicans. And then you have the House Freedom Caucus, and that's more of what the battle is, especially in the state house. The state Senate, the state Freedom Caucus doesn't have as much ground, even if all the surrounding states they do. But in the House, it's almost a dead heat because of the Democrats siding with the South Dakota caucus.
Yeah. So like, how does that then, like what you've done in South Dakota, how's that translating to Virginia? Like the work that you were able to do over there versus over here?
It's a lot harder to get people involved in South Dakota, but it also is the people who are involved up there aren't as big into doing their research as they are in Virginia, but they're also more civically engaged when it comes to the national level. Like they can tell you anything on national level, but on the state level, they don't know as much. In Virginia, it's about 50-50. A lot of people know about the state House of Delegates and the state Senate and the governorship and all that. In South Dakota, they knew Kristi Noem. That was about it.
Yeah, well, I guess they figure, you know, you can take it for granted. Republicans are going to win all the time over there. So, you know, when you get the races, like you mentioned, there are dead heat. Suddenly it's like, oh, wow, how'd this sneak up on us?
Yeah, they have one city where the Democrats make up ground. And other than that, the rest of the state is just ruby red.
Yeah.
There's a district that voted 93% for Trump in 2024.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Democrats, too, have been plagued by that kind of thing. Although actually from the other from farther left. Yeah, because I'm thinking of
they've lost a lot of ground in Hawaii.
Well, oh, really?
Not a lot. But 5 years ago, they had a 48-3 advantage in the state house. Now it's 42-9.
So that's still some ground lost.
Still a lot of ground to make up.
Especially for Hawaii, given how far left they are. Just the Hawaii State Supreme Court basically said the U.S. Constitution doesn't apply to them recently. It was some sort of something about gun control.
Yeah, and the problem is Honolulu.
Yeah.
All 22 districts are Democrat by double-digit districts.
Right. Yeah, so that's going to be a tough nut to crack, though. But you know, hopefully Virginia proves a bit easier, especially since not so long ago we were pretty well red. You know, you might have a Democrat governor, maybe a Democrat senator, but there would always be a Republican somewhere in the mix.
Right. I think New Mexico and Virginia are the two primest flip targets. Because New Mexico, Hispanics are flipping parties, one of the fastest groups in the country. And the Santa Fe area is where a lot of ground can be made up. While in Virginia, a lot of it is on the eastern half of the state. Because I think Republicans have mostly maxed out west of Charlottesville.
Yeah.
I mean, we did build up a little bit in Amherst County. Huge shout out to Amherst County GOP, who went and door knocked relessly and got turned out to be about 140%. But you can't bank on that every year.
No, not at all. And you know, we at least in Virginia, because of how competitive it is, we're not going to run the risk of South Dakota or anything as far as complacent on the local races. Actually, though, that could be an advantage then, because like I said, the Democrats down in Newport News, they have no challenge for some of the local races. The mayor's race, for example, as well, there were 4 Democrats running.
That sounds like California, where I grew up. So.
Oh, yeah. And I guess you're not going to see a challenge there except from the left. The example I was thinking of earlier was actually in New York City, the district that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez won. The Democrat establishment was so confident in their stranglehold, they didn't actually take her seriously. And this longtime establishment Democrat got ousted.
He was in for a long time, but California, the governorship is looking promising. Michael Schellenberger, if he runs as an independent, could create a lot of chaos.
Yeah, hopefully, actually, that music means that we're out of time for the segment. We've only got 10 seconds left here. But Nathan Clark, appreciate you being on again. One more time, 5 seconds, what's your website?
TheBlindConservative.substack.com and TheBlindConservative on all social media.
If you're like most people, there's no telling how far you'll go for the promise of a post-holiday getaway to a land of sunshine. Emily Kaufman, a.k.a. The Travel Mom, can help.
Finding a location that offers a bit of magic for everyone is the key to an unforgettable stay. That's what I love about Disney Vacation Club resorts. They give members and guests the opportunity to stay within the magic while enjoying the comforts of home. Members and guests vacationing at a Disney Vacation Club resort can choose to stay in a variety of different accommodations, including deluxe studios, one-bedroom villas, two-bedroom villas, and even three-bedroom grand villas at most locations. Members can choose from exciting vacation destinations like the brand new Island Tower at Disney's Polynesian Villas and Bungalows that's right in the heart of the magic of Walt Disney World. It's inspired by the spirit of the Polynesian Islands, the Walt Disney Animation Studios film Moana, and the beauty of the natural world.
For more information or to plan your next Walt Disney World vacation, visit DisneyVacationClub.com.
Vaccination rates for COVID-19 and flu are lagging this year, causing concern for many families as infection rates continue to rise. William Schaffner, MD, spokesperson for the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases, or NFID, has more.
Most people in the U.S. likely have at least one high risk factor for COVID-19 and flu, but many don't know they have a greater chance of developing severe illness if infected. People with chronic health issues, such as diabetes, hypertension, and heart and lung disease, are at increased risk for serious complications.
Research shows antivirals can reduce the risk of hospitalization for both COVID-19 and flu.
Although COVID-19 and flu antiviral treatments are effective in reducing the risk of hospitalization and death, they're widely underused. Antivirals are available with a prescription and are designed to be given early on to prevent symptoms from becoming more severe.
For more information, visit cveep.org/treatments and nfid.org.
With peak carbine season coming up, one thing you want to think about is how does that affect your insurance? So a couple recommendations we have is make sure you're always reviewing your policy. Whether you're adding a new vehicle, adding a driver, or just updating your coverage overall, you want to make sure that you're reviewing your coverage and the price. One way to do that is to consult an independent agent because they can help you navigate the tricky insurance buying process. The second thing is how do you become more insurance savvy? So a couple recommendations we have is to understand some of the basic terms. The first one is deductible. That's the amount of coverage that you pay before your coverage kicks in. And it's important to keep in mind that the higher deductible you take, the lower your premium is. But remember, if you do have a claim, that's the amount that you're gonna be paying. So you wanna make sure it fits within your budget. The second term is premium, and that's what you pay for the coverage that you're getting. One way to find an independent agent is to go to agent.travelers.com and find a local agent near you.
Are you excited about being a new grandmother?
Of course I am. A little intimidated, too.
Why?
Taking care of a baby today is so different than when I had you.
But, Mom, you did great with me.
Thanks, son. But I put you on your stomach to sleep.
Right. But now we know that babies should always be placed on their backs to sleep for naps and at night to reduce the risk of sudden infant death syndrome, or SIDS.
You also slept with blankets and toys in your crib.
True. But now we know to keep everything out of the crib except for my sweet baby girl. No blankets, pillows, or other soft or loose items.
Daddy's going to teach Nana all the ways to keep you safe while you sleep. Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
For more tips on safe sleep for babies, visit safetosleep.nichd.nih.gov. That's safetosleep.nichd.nih.gov. Sponsored by the Eunice Kennedy Shriver National Institute of Child Health and Human Development.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for that.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all gotta help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're gonna be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
All right, welcome back to the Silk or Joe Show, everybody. Taping from CPAC, not quite live. We're sitting here in person, mind you, but it's March 1st for you listening, and it's February 20th for us. Do the math. We're a little bit apart on that, so not quite live, but still out there. And we are joined for this live segment by Sheila Fury. It's doctor, right?
Yes.
Yes, okay. I just want to make sure I remember that correctly. We talked to her a few hours ago, and my brain has been scrambled ever since. So, Dr. Fury, appreciate you being on the show. How are you today?
I'm great.
Okay, actually, I know you gave me a card, and it's somewhere around.
Professionals and concerned citizens who were formed in the midst of COVID-19, and we advocated for early treatment of for COVID as well as the danger of the shots. And so what we've done is continued to grow, and what we're focused on right now is against all medical mandates. So we don't want any healthcare mandated, and we also want to protect our food supply, our air, and our water supply. So we want to make America healthy again, and in particular, we want to make Virginia healthy again.
Yeah, and there's so much out there, too, that, like, you know, you say they treat you like you're a whack job or something, when really there's solid science behind it. It just came up earlier that in a personal matter somewhere else, but fluoride in the water supply. And you have RFK Jr. coming out against that. But that used to be like a conspiracy theory sort of thing. I mean, the movie Dr. Strangelove, it was a comic point that the crazy general was concerned about fluoride in the water. But, I mean, I actually have evidence on my two front teeth that too much fluoride is bad, because I got these spots that are caused by too much fluoride, which can actually damage your bones.
Absolutely. So fluoride is just the tip of the iceberg, and absolutely it should be removed from our water supply. It is causing neurological damage to our children, and it isn't improving the health of our teeth. And so on both fronts, the medical establishment, dental establishment lose. And what we need is really to get the poisons out of our food supply, in particular glyphosate, which is in the ground, part of where we plant our crops. We're also looking at what the government wants to do in injecting our animals that we eat, so chickens, cows, et cetera, with mRNA vaccines. So again, that mRNA can incorporate into our biome. This is exactly what we want to stop. And the medical establishment led by the pharmaceutical companies is really a cartel. And we need to stop it. And I'm hoping that Robert F. Kennedy can be the force, and with the guidance of President Trump, we break up the cartel that is the medical establishment.
Yeah, they have just absolutely too much power. You know, it was actually ironic to me that given the power that the medical industry has over government, a couple of years ago, there was a protest against them. And then the Antifa folks, the anti-fascists, that's what it's short for, they break up the protest against the medical industry that controls the government.
Correct. I think it's really interesting that Antifa, who says that they want democracy, they want freedom, and yet we're the same people who said, get in line and take your shots. Mm-hmm. All right. And those shots are killing people. I've never in my medical career seen such an increase in the cancer rate. But it isn't just cancer. It's neurological injury. It's the myocarditis, the pericarditis. But it's also at the other end of the life spectrum, all of the infertility that we're facing, not only in the United States, but around the world. We have to restore the health of this nation.
Yeah, and we just can't sell it out to the pharmaceutical interests or anything. And actually, right after COVID, I don't know if this was the case before COVID, but from the profits they were raking in, at least from the vaccines, you know, companies like Moderna, they went from almost failing to billion-dollar profits. And then the medical industry is now the biggest lobbying group in D.C.
Absolutely. And what we have to look at is how medical advertising, particularly drug advertising. The drug advertising isn't necessarily to sell the drug. The drug advertising is to control
the output from the media establishment. So the billions and billions of dollars that are spent by pharmaceutical companies to advertise gives them power over all the media outlets that advertise. And this has to be, this loophole needs to be stopped. We stopped advertising for cigarettes. We stopped advertising for hard liquor. Okay, can we stop advertising for drugs that are contributing to the literally the demise of our nation?
Now, what have you done in the state of Virginia? We've got about 3 minutes left here.
Okay, so right now we're organizing a number. This will be our third summit is on April 1st in Lynchburg at Liberty University. So we're going to have an all-day summit where we're speaking on medical freedom and the Constitution. We have national speakers coming in who are going to speak about from Feds for Freedom, who are going to speak about what the military did and how our federal employees stood in the face of being fired and in some cases literally tortured in the military to stand against illegal mandates. We have people talking about the importance of protecting our bodies from birth, all right, against the medical establishment. And then the importance of keeping our environment, our food supply clean so that we can be a healthy nation. And then lastly, how all of this ties into the sin of human trafficking. The medical establishment is actually very complicit in human trafficking, and we need to stop that.
We've got 2 minutes left, so I'm going to have to ask you to expand on that point.
All right. In Virginia in particular, we want to have abortion until birth. And what is that going to do? People who are trafficking humans, particularly women and girls, and if they become pregnant, they can take that girl without consent across state lines into Virginia and have her have an abortion. What is further is, and this is very disturbing, I'll try to say it politically correct for the radio, is that a barrel of oil is $77. If we look at what is happening, the products of conception is $77,000 a barrel.
Wow.
So this is disturbing information. And we need as a nation to restore life to this nation and the protection of life from conception till natural death. We do not want the wisdom of our elderly parents, grandparents, to be given a black pill because it's their time according to the government. The government needs to get out of healthcare, and we need to restore the Hippocratic Oath to healthcare.
All right, Dr. Sheila Fury, appreciate you being on the Silk or Joe Show to talk about this. And again, listeners, her organization is VAMFA.org, Virginia Medical Freedom Alliance. You can go check them out. But we are done with you all for today. Thank you for tuning in. And our website is MainStreetRadioNetwork.com. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities, so please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, MainStreetRadioNetwork.com.